Good morning. I'd like to start by thanking the congregation that meets here at Murray Road for asking me to speak. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Bill Ford's grandson. Yes. The topic I was asked to speak on is Add to Your Patience Godliness. I was excited to get to study this topic because it was this topic that I felt like I had a pretty good grasp on, but it's not something that I had really delved into. How would you describe godliness? Growing up in the church, the word godliness fit into the category of words like admonish, transgression, sanctified. Although we might know the meaning, can we define it? Do we truly understand it? We may not be able to put it into words very well. Godliness is an attribute that God requires of us to exhibit, so we must understand it so that we can apply it to our lives. So today I'd like to look at three different points: the definition of godliness and some examples of godliness in the Bible, what Peter means in 2 Peter 1 when he talks about adding to your patience godliness, and being a godly Christian today. So first of all, the definition of godliness and some examples of godliness in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." According to Strong's, the word godliness here can also be translated holiness. Godliness can mean being holy, devout, or righteous, dedicated or set apart for a religious purpose, a spirit of reverence, deeply religious, behaving according to a moral or religious code. It has been described as reverent love. Godliness is a mindset. It's a lifestyle and an attitude. It affects our actions, how we think, and even our outward appearance. Let's look at a few examples from the Bible of godly men. Just as we are set apart as Christians for a purpose, in the Bible there were many people who were set apart and demonstrated these godly characteristics. The first one I'd like to look at is Elijah. God chose Elijah as his prophet to declare his will. Elijah exhibited godliness by relaying God's word and accomplishing his role. Elijah was not perfect, but he set himself apart to proclaim God's word, even when his audience was less than eager to hear it. David. David was picked by God to be the king of God's chosen people. Although David had his faults, he did demonstrate godliness. He recognized his purpose as God's chosen king and fulfilled it for the most part. David was called a man after God's own heart. David believed that he was godly and that God would hear him because of it. Let's turn to Psalms 4 and verse 3. This is a psalm of David. "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." David was confident in his godliness. Paul. Paul was on the road to Damascus when God chose him for a purpose. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, the Lord told Ananias that Paul was a chosen vessel to bear the name of the Lord before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Although Paul came from a background of persecuting the church, he did all things in good conscience and had a godly ministry. Now that we hopefully have a better understanding of the definition of godliness, and we've looked at a few examples of godliness in the Bible, let's look at what Peter means when he talks about adding to your patience godliness. We are not just to be godly as well as patient, but we are to build on our patience godliness. What does godliness do for patience? Or what does patience do for godliness? I'd like to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence. Diligence here implies that we are starting a project or beginning a process. Add to your faith virtue. Here we see that we start with something and we are adding to it. Not also gain virtue, but add virtue. It is a process. Add to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. After studying this, I came to the conclusion that godly patience results in godliness. Godly patience results in godliness. By being patient and relying on God through afflictions and trials, we start to demonstrate godliness. Godliness is the next step. Without patience, we could not demonstrate godliness, but through patience, we can attain godliness. Being a godly Christian today. I'd like to break this up into two parts. What can get in the way of us being a godly Christian today, and how can we demonstrate godliness as a Christian? 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'll read verses 3 through 5. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. In verses 3 and 4, we see that pride and ignorance get in the way of godliness. And then in verse 5, we see that these prideful and ignorant men have a distorted view of what godliness is. They view it as an opportunity for dishonest gain. Now let's continue reading in verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now we see the contrast between man's distorted view of godliness and what godliness is meant to be. Things that get in the way of our godliness are pride, ignorance, and greediness. Greed or the love of money gets in the way of us being a godly Christian. But as it says in verse 6, contentment with godliness is great gain. This brings me to the second part of being a godly Christian, which is how can we demonstrate godliness as a Christian? 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 8. 1 Timothy 2, 8 through 10. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold, or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. This scripture shows us that our outward appearance is related to us professing godliness. And it goes on to say, with good works, implying that we must look and act appropriate in an appropriate way to show godliness. From the scriptures here and the definition of godliness, we can conclude that pride, ignorance, and greed get in the way of godliness. Being content and reverent help us to be godly Christians. Being a godly Christian requires us to recognize that we are set apart for God's purpose, and it requires that we are religious and behave according to God's teachings. In summary, today I'd like to summarize the thoughts of godliness. I'd like for us to take away, or for us to remember, that godliness is being holy or devout. Just as God chose godly men in the Bible, we are chosen to be godly. We must achieve godliness through patience. It is a process. To be a godly Christian today, we must recognize that we are set apart, and we must devote ourselves to God. If you'll turn with me, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Here we see that godliness profits us in this life and the life to come. Being holy, devout, and righteous will profit us in all things. To have this promise that is talked about, we must exhibit godliness. As we conclude, I'd like to go back to 2 Peter 1, this time starting in verse 1. 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We see in verse 3 that we've been given everything needed for life and godliness. Then in 4, Peter mentions an exceedingly great and precious promise. Because Jesus died for us, we have a promise of everlasting life with God in heaven if we choose to be baptized and live a godly life. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So far this meeting, we have talked about how we can build on each of these attributes to become a better Christian. But we must start the process. If you have not been baptized into God's family, and it is your desire to do so, or if we can help you with any other thing, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.